We've been talking these last couple of weeks about our life together as a covenant community. Last week, we made promises to one another as pastor and people. Today, I begin with you a conversation about five covenant practices that mark our identity as the body of Christ. First is the covenant practice of Christ-like spiritual formation. And I want to invite you this morning to engage your holy imagination as I share with you a tale of two cathedrals. Cathedral number one. Imagine with me a large, sprawling structure surrounded by concrete. Before entering, you've struggled to find a parking place. The venue is not as popular as it once was, but can still be crowded, especially around Christmas, Easter, and Mother's Day. It has much to grab your attention. Everybody says you need what it has to offer if you're going to feel good about yourself. And if you want to keep feeling good about yourself, they say you'll have to keep coming back. You walk into this cathedral, and there are chapels all around. The priests are there to help you find what you're looking for. And if you're not sure what you're looking for, they have suggestions. If you just want to look around, that's perfectly fine. Just looking almost always creates a desire to have what is available, even though before entering this cathedral, you didn't even know you wanted it. On the outside of each chapel are windows, not of stained glass, but with pictures of saints, sacred icons, if you will, of the cathedral's faith, with beautifully airbrushed, sculpted bodies most of us will never possess. They're on display to make us believe what we could be if we spend enough time worshiping in that particular chapel and acquire the many blessings it has to offer. And most of us fall for the lie. When you find something you want, the attending priest will take an offering from you, and you will get to take the blessing home. It'll make you feel happy, at least for a couple of days. But by next year, the priests of the chapels and the bishops of the cathedral will tell you that the blessing you received is no longer good enough. You need to return, make an additional offering, and receive the latest, most updated blessing. For your identity in this cathedral is that of a consumer. Your worth is based on what you can buy. The blessings at the time of consumption promise to make you happy, but the invisible print says your happiness will only be temporary. This cathedral has its own Bible, its own story in which you are encouraged to live. The members of the cathedral put their story into songs of identity and promise performed by various bands. Oh, the bands. They often sing in front of a fountain. You might think of it as a baptistry of sorts. The band today is from the early 2000s. They call themselves Nickelback. Perhaps their being asked to sing in this cathedral has something to do with the nickels you toss in the fountain. I'm not sure. Their song this morning describes what it looks like to be formed by this cathedral's congregation. It goes like this. I want a brand new house on an episode of Cribs and a bathroom I can play baseball in and a king-size bed, king-size tub big enough for 10 plus me. I need a credit card that's got no limit and a big black jet with a bedroom in it. I want a new tour bus full of old guitars, my own star on Hollywood Boulevard. Somewhere between Cher and James Dean is fine for me. I'm going to dress myself in the latest fashion, get a front door key to the Playboy Mansion, going to date a centerfold that loves to blow my money for me. I'm going to trade this life for fortune and fame. I'll even cut my hair and change my name, because we all just want to be big rock stars, live in hilltop houses, driving 15 cars. The girls come easy, the drugs come cheap. We'll all stay skinny because we just won't eat. We'll hang out in the coolest bars, in the VIP with the movie stars. Hey, hey, I want to be a rock star. After the band sings, you can hear sermons by various talking heads, eloquent preachers they are, with their own version of spiritual formation, though they don't call it that, encouraging you and me to become a certain kind of person, offering you an identity and a mission with its own list of do's and don'ts. In this chapel, we're told that we exist to support the economy. We're not to ask where the products we buy come from, why we can get them so cheap, whether child labor was involved, or if adults in third world countries worked 80 hours a week in sweatshops for mere pennies an hour, or if the products do harm to God's creation. No moral or ethical questions, please. Just trust what the market will bear. Come and get whatever feeds your desire and what you are told you need. If you receive this gospel into your heart, salvation will come in the form of looking attractive and appearing successful. And if you have to put your offering on a credit card, that's fine. The downside is there's a chance you'll be treading water in a pool of debt. But that's okay. You're being a faithful member of the congregation, and we are impressed with how you look. Perhaps by now you know the name of this cathedral. It's the Mall. America's true sanctuary. Our national church, which many of the faithful now attend online. The Mall usually gets the first fruits of our labor, and often well more than 10%. And we buy into its gospel message more deeply than we might imagine. Have you ever given thought to the idea of the Mall as a place of spiritual formation? With advertisers having a vision of the purpose they want you to be, then seductively marketing what they have in order to form you into its vision, all the while leading you to believe that you are acting freely and just expressing yourself. The Mall and our global economic machine need you and me to be a certain kind of person. A person continually discontent with who we are and what we have. If you ever reach the point where you mistakenly think you have enough, and where you feel good about wearing clothes from 3 years ago, you will be frowned upon and likely ridiculed. Because that's not good for the National Cathedral budget. You're not being who they need you to be. No, I'm not suggesting we never visit the mall or buy new clothes or tools or certainly books. We can make purchases. But we need to ask some questions as we do. And perhaps we could do a good deal of our purchasing, not for ourselves who have plenty, but for those who are without basic essentials. Those actually in need of new clothes or socks or maybe even a good used car to get to work. We can buy things to support jobs and local businesses without buying into the notion that what we own determines our worth and defines our identity. Don't just buy stuff in order to feel good about yourself for the moment, or to gain the lame approval and shallow admiration of those around you. But let us be very clear. Our advertising, marketing, economic, political system is very intentional about shaping you and me into a particular kind of person, a person who is never satisfied with what we have and is very intentional about maintaining a system whose purpose is to continually create within us the desire to want more. So, given that spiritual formation, even spiritual deformation, is always happening wherever we are, what can be done to counter this false identity and this dubious mission our culture seeks to create within us? Well, let's imagine another cathedral, one that we'll be talking about over the next 4 weeks. To take just a moment to introduce this cathedral, the parking lot is not quite as full, except at Christmas, Easter, and Mother's Day. There have likely been no glossy advertisements to lure you in. Maybe someone invited you to visit. Maybe you're seeking God or something deeper than the life you have now. You walk in and you're greeted by a smiling face, someone to welcome you and point you in the right direction. As everyone begins to gather in the larger chapel, there's a warm presence of love among the people. A variety of music is offered that lifts your heart toward God. You're invited to sing hymns to Christ and to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and never be the same. You find that children are welcomed in the place. They're valued and loved. Prayers are prayed, helping us center our lives and our life together in God and God's purposes. Holy Scripture is read, and God speaks, and the Holy Spirit breathes life into the room and into our hearts. An offering of possessions is made, a grateful returning to their rightful owner to be shared with the community and a world in need. The preacher for the day reminds us what it means to be spiritually formed in the likeness of Christ and how counter-cultural the words of Jesus really are. The preacher tells the story of someone visiting a small town in Michigan the week following 9/11, where people across town began noticing these sheets of purple paper appearing in many of the businesses and restaurants. Beginning at the top of the page and going all the way to the bottom is a list of phrases. Blessed are the peacemakers. Love your enemies. Do not retaliate. If you forgive, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. They're words of Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount. The visitor says that as he sat in Susie's restaurant with the purple piece of paper in his hand reading the words, a man seated next to him looks over and says, "I don't know what them words are, but they don't sound right to me." And if you're honest, you have to agree. In our world, the words of Jesus are profoundly strange. You will never hear them on the lips of a politician wanting to get elected. They just don't sound right to our ears. The Apostle Paul actually called the message of this gospel foolishness. And even in the church, where we've often traded costly discipleship for comfortable membership, the words of Jesus sound irrelevant, naive, idealistic. And yet we hear Jesus has commissioned us to go into all the world and make disciples. Not just believers who accept Jesus and are baptized, but followers of Jesus who teach and obey His foolish words, no matter how odd they sound, because on our best days, we know His words lead to life. The preacher reminds us that this evangelistic calling to be disciples and make disciples extends beyond the large chapel into other smaller chapels throughout the cathedral, where small groups gather each week to study the Bible and to pray, to talk with one another about what it means to follow Jesus, and to encourage one another not to worship in the cathedrals of consumerism. We gather in these small groups to be grounded in the basics of our faith, but also to learn to think critically about faith, asking questions, making faith our own, exchanging bumper sticker platitudes for thoughtful theology. All of this for the purpose of being formed in the likeness of Jesus and partnering with God in the healing of the world. We gather in this cathedral so that God's Spirit can bear fruit through our lives wherever we go, gradually forming us into people who put to death compulsions of selfishness and self-interest, behaviors of jealousy and anger and envy that lead to quarrels and dissensions and strife. People who embody life-giving love and joy, peace and patience, kindness and goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. People who put aside petty differences and preferences and focus on what really matters, like doing justice and loving mercy and walking humbly with our God. We invite people into the life Jesus lived as the only life worth living. We seek to form people who spend their lives loving enemies, living generously, helping the needy, advocating for the poor, offering grace to the wounded. And while spiritual growth certainly requires time alone with God to pray, Christ-like spiritual formation is learned best with others. It was in community that Jesus taught His disciples. We're individual members of the body of Christ, but we cannot function alone. We're a community of faith where we become disciples and make disciples for the good of the world. In this cathedral of Christ-like spiritual formation, this is our reason for being. No matter what else we do in this place, if we do not form faithful followers of Jesus, we have failed. It's the mission of the church to be a community of Christ-like formation. As the church, we must be more intentional than the world around us in our task of spiritual formation. Careful that the cathedral of the church doesn't act like the cathedral of the mall, where we treat people like customers, read scripture only for something useful, promote the gospel as a product, manage the church like a business, review the budget like a stock market portfolio, and market ministry through glitzy commercialization. As we leave the mall cathedral, having been told we're consumers that must never be satisfied, a benediction is passed along. Now have a nice day. Come back and see us. As we leave the cathedral of Christian spiritual formation, we're told to go as God's beloved children, members of the body of Christ, whose mission in this world is to live as faithful followers of Jesus, citizens in the kingdom of God, with the risen Christ going with us, empowering us every step of the way. So, given that spiritual formation of some sort is always taking place everywhere we are, in what cathedral are you being most faithfully formed? What kind of person are you and me becoming? And having worshiped in this cathedral this day, how then will you live? Amen. If you would choose this day to follow Jesus, to trust in the grace and forgiveness of God and be baptized, to join this cathedral and help us be intentional about becoming like Jesus and walking in His steps, we welcome you to come forward as we stand together and sing our hymn of response. Is hymn 680, I Then Shall Live. I'll be here at the front to receive you. Let us stand and sing.